Jacksonville, Florida. It's time for another Hour of Power with Apostle Kimberly Daniels. Get ready for a 60-minute experience that will change your life forever.
Hello again, Jacksonville, Florida. This is Apostle Kimberly Daniels, and I am anxious to spend another hour of power with you. We are here at Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience again, and I'm right here live in the studio, and we are on Facebook Live. If you're not following me on Facebook, I am listed on Facebook as State Representative Kimberly Daniels. It is not a government page. That is the name of my Facebook, State Representative Kimberly Daniels. Go ahead and log on, follow me, and please, whatever you do, like me. Well, we're here today to hang out, and I'm thanking God for, let me just call out some of the people that's on my Facebook page right now. We got Katonia Samuels. What's up, Beverly Willis? All the way from Germany, Frankfurt, Germany. Robert Walden Johnson. What's up, girl? You always hanging out. We got Annette Reynolds. Annette, you're new. I've never seen your name before. Patricia Brantley. Val Wilson. Annette Reynolds. Kimberly Ingram. Americas. I see you a lot, Americas. How are you doing? Americas, can you just go ahead and sign in on Facebook and tell me where you're from? We just want to let our listening audience know, though we are in Jacksonville, Florida, we are streaming live all around the nation and even in some parts of the world. We got Sadia Moore and we have Sharon Graydon. You guys got to tell me where you're from. Okay, we got Sean I can't even say your last name. Sean Strong from Jacksonville, Florida. Okay. Y'all don't want to start a fight. Y'all don't want me to talk about Halloween, okay? All right, we got Sweetie Mangambo from London. Oh, hi. We got someone from Deborah from North Carolina, Melissa from Atlanta. We got Jenny from Atlanta. We got Athenia from Arkansas. We got Craig from Texas. This thing moving fast. We got Mr. Johnson from Louisiana, and we have Cincinnati, Ohio. Kimberly, what's up, Kim? Hi, Kim, from Kim. We got Alyssa from Detroit, Michigan, and we got Sharon from The Bluff, okay? April from Newport, Richie, Tammy from Huntsville. Listen, I got to pull this thing closer. See, y'all, let me see a little bit. We got Tammy from Huntsville. We got Mamta from North Virginia, Bernadette from Memphis, Tennessee. We got Teresa from South Carolina. We got Nathalia from Orlando. Wow, we got someone from Florence, South Carolina. Betty, that's my mama's name. We got New Jersey in the house, Elizabeth. Elder Walker from Tallahassee. What's up, Tallahassee? We got Oklahoma, Pam King, and Mother Hayes from Michigan. What's up, Mother? When you say Mother, I get excited because I know you got the anointing. We got Bernadette Sims from Memphis. And that's about it. We got Darlene from Freeport, Bahamas. We got Machicha, you always on, from Baltimore. God bless you, sis. I got to meet you. Maddie Hughes from Alabama listening in. And we got Robin Walden Johnson from Albany, Georgia. Listen, we are here today, just hanging out a little while, and we're going to have some folk call in, and I want to speak prophetically into the lives of those who are just spending some time with me. I don't know if many of you heard about, I know you heard about the incident that took place where the synagogue, there was a mass shooting there again, and we want to stand in the gap and we want to pray over our nation. We just need to pray. You know, everybody's pointing fingers, but I'm telling you, when trouble is all around and people are pointing fingers at each other, we need to focus our attention on God and ask God to for his mercy and his grace and his magnificent protection and his awesome power. Because, you know, when it looks like trouble is all around, 1,000 will fall to one side, 10,000 to the other. But I want you to believe that no harm will come nigh your dwelling. So we want to stand in the gap. I got loads and loads and loads of intercessors that's on Facebook Live that kind of hang out with me all the time. And I'm glad that the Bible says that one can put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. And it's just a blessing that now that I'm not in session, that I can take this time and spend time live, because we do have a lot of teachings that people love listening to. But there's nothing I like better than to hang out with you. So thank you for listening in. I want to just share a little bit of the word with you, and then we'll open our lines up. I see you guys at the top of the screen. So, you know, let's just touch and agree with me, and let's get into the word of God. Father, we bless you. We glorify you. We thank you that we have ears to hear and hearts to understand and spirits to receive what you're saying to the church. God, we're in a day and time when people need an accurate, clarion, clear word from you. God, there's so many voices speaking, and there's so much confusion in the land. But God, we thank you that you are El Shaddai. You are the God who provides all that we have need of. You're more than enough. And God, we just draw from the anointing today as we come from this place in Jacksonville, Florida, and understanding that there's no distance in the spirit, and what we're moving in today is not by power and not by might, but it's by your spirit. And God, we bless you for all of those that are listening to the radio program through 107.9. We ask you, God, to send your anointing through the airways of the internet, through Facebook, and even the airways of the internet that's connecting us to this radio broadcast. God, we bless you, we glorify you, and we thank you ahead of time what you're doing through us and for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, let me read this scripture from Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the 12th verse. I'm reading from the Amplified version. It says, "For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart." Listen, this passage of scripture is a very popular passage of scripture. We read it all the time. We've been studying it, those of us who've been in the Lord, and it's talking about the word of God. And I just think that sometimes we take the word of God too lightly. You know, when things get bad, we fall back on the word. But I want you to know that we should go to the word first. We should make the word a priority. The word should not be our last option, but it just seems like that's how it is. But the Bible says that the word of God is alive and is active. I like how the Amplified version explain it. It literally says that the word that God speaks, in other words, when the source of the word comes from God, because there's a lot of voices speaking in the land. There's a lot of people saying, "Thus saith the Lord." There's a lot of people prophesying, but God is not speaking through everybody. But those of us who worship him, we worship him in spirit and in truth. And I want you to put this up on the screen, because we talked about this at Spoken Word Ministries at church today. This is so important to remember in the day and time that we live in. And this is what I confess. I am a spirit. I am a spirit. I live in a body and I possess a soul. Go ahead and put that on the screen of those of you on Facebook live. And for those of you who are taking notes, or maybe those of you who got photographic memories or just can get stuff like that, I have to write everything down. But I am, you are, we are spirits. We live in a body and we possess a soul. And you know, it's all about the soul. And as spirit beings, the only thing that's keeping us in contact with the earth is these physical bodies. And as I was reading the Word of God in the Amplified Version, it talks about how the Word of God is active, operative, is energizing, and it's effective. I want to let you know that the Word works. And if the Word is not working for you, that means that you're not working it. You know, the anointing is the anointing all by itself. And there's so much power of God that's lying dormant and just resident, just lying there. But God is looking for an empty person, an empty shell, an empty vessel that he can use. Because when the rubber hits the road, it's all about what we've done in the kingdom. And one day we're going to stand before God, and some people are going to say, God, you know, I cast out devils, and I see all my warfare friends on Facebook, and those of you who may be listening, I cast out devils, I laid hands on the sick, I prophesied, I did this. And God is going to say, get from before me, you worker of iniquity. And when you understand that word iniquity, it's not just talking about drug addicts or homosexuals or prostitutes. It literally means, if you translate it, get from before me, you who have not done what I've called you to do. You know, the Word of God said that it is a sin when you know what to do and do not do it. So it's time for us to put our hands to the plow and allow God to activate the Word of God in our life. The Bible says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit. I want to stop right there, because there's a lot of folk that are really confused during this Halloween season, when you got folk coming out saying that they are Christian witches. Now, I want to tell you two points of view about the Christian witches thing. First of all, Christian witch is an oxymoron, and it really does not exist. You cannot be a Christian and be a witch. Either you are a witch or you are a Christian. Now, I understand that there is such a thing called charismatic witchcraft, because the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And that word gift means charisma. So it literally means, and this is why it's so important that we understand our makeup, spirits, you know, in a body, possessing a soul, that there's a battle going on for your soul right now. It is really important that we understand our makeup, because once God gives you a gift, he never takes it away. So once you're gifted, you can backslide, you can do whatever, and your gift will keep right on working. And some folks say that, you know, they talk about false prophets, and how do you know who's the real deal, and how do you know who's a false prophet? Well, the Bible says that we ought to try the Spirit by the Spirit as to whether it is of God or not. And I believe that we're in a time that there's so much false. Hear me what I'm saying. There's so much false that when the real deal shows up, you will know the difference. You will know. You will not be deceived. Because those who are the sons of God, they are led by the Spirit of God. In a time when you have people, the witches are coming out of the closet, the homosexuals are coming out of the closet, everybody's coming out of the closet but the church. And now, you know, God did give us a prayer closet, but church, I'm telling you, it's time for you to come out. What do I mean by coming out of the closet? In other words, we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, there ain't never been no shame in my game. And whenever, you know, where I come from and where I lived at, we told it like it was and we said it like it is. But we're living in a day and time when people are trying to stifle the truth. And the truth is the only thing that makes us free. So it's not so much the truth that they're after. You know, they're shutting the truth down, but they want to stop men from being free. You know, you have to get to the root cause of the problem. And getting back to the witch thing that I brought it up, because it talks about the Word of God is active. It's alive. It divides asunder. It's a two-edged sword. You know, my grandma used to have these they got single-edged razor blades. But my grandma, she used to tell me, don't bring me no double edge. When I went to the store when I was a little girl, bring me a double edge. Don't bring me no single edge razor blade. Well, the word of God is like a double edge razor blade. You know, when you hold that razor blade, if you don't hold it right, because it don't have a part that you could hold on to that won't cut you, the word of God, it can either be a blessing to you or a curse to you. If you mishandle that double-edged blade, it'll cut you. But if you mishandle, and the Bible talks about mishandling the word of God, and there are some folk that use the gospel for the wrong reason, and they mishandle the word of God, or they're operating in the wrong spirit. You know, this is a season that we got to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right play thing with the right people. There is a teleos of God. There is a perfect will of God. And so our spiritual discerners have to be sharpened, because we don't want our children joining no Christian witch clubs. OK, our children should know that power can operate outside of the power of God. Some folk believe in God, but they don't believe in the devil. Well, let me explain this thing about piercing to the division of soul and spirit. Okay. And I can give you an example through astral projection so you can understand actually how deep this particular passage of scripture can go. You know, the Bible in Ecclesiastes talks about a silver cord. Okay. And the silver cord is what literally keeps your spirit in your body. When the silver cord is cut, and Ecclesiastes talks about the cup, the silver cord and the bowl, it talks about the spirit and that cord that, like an astronaut, you're connected to. When that cord is cut, like the life cycle is over. It's over. You're going one place or the other. Either you're going to lift your eyes up, inhale, or you'll be absent from the body, present with the Lord, because that spirit man is connected. But what causes us to be believers? What is it? Okay, you got witches that are operating in power, and you got people of God that are operating in power. What is it that makes the difference? How can I tell? Well, let me say this to you. The word of God, it would divide soul and spirit. When people astral project, they take their mind to control their spirit. In other words, they can get into a trance or think or get into a place of meditation where you can literally control your spirit with your soul or with your mind. That's why we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't lean to our own understanding. We're not manipulating the spirit realm. We take our hands off and let God put his hands on. You know, that's why women of God, men of God, you got to be very careful that you're not so stuck on God showed me and I know what the Lord showed me, because, you know, we all fall short of the glory of God. And when we prophesy in part. No, anybody who's always on and they think they know everything, I'm telling you, you've got to be watchful of that spirit of the witch or that witchcraft spirit, because we are not controlling the spirit realm. Listen, when I prophesy to you or I speak to you, I'm speaking to you by faith. I don't even know what I'm talking about. It's not like I went into a trance and went into your future or to your past. I'm not saying that somebody can't have an experience like that, but I'm saying it's not by power. It's not by might. It's by the Spirit of God. And there are so many lines. There are so many lines. False prophets have long lines. And, you know, how can a false prophet have long lines? False people. It's not so much just the prophets. You know, we need to get real before God. Listen, it is an awesome thing to have somebody to prophesy to you and to tell you what God is saying. But when you begin to depend on that person, when you begin to depend on that word from that person, I'm telling you, it can turn into idolatry. And you have to be very careful that you're not putting men on pedestals. This is when it begins to be false, when we keep God out of the picture. So the Bible says that the word of God is sharp and it divides asunder spirit and soul. And so, in other words, you don't need to be meditating and using your mind to control your spirit. That's witchcraft. What is witchcraft? What makes a person a witch? A person is a witch when they work witchcraft. Okay. You know, you a junkie because you smoke dope. You a mother because you have children. You a witch because you do witchcraft. And the Bible says that witchcraft is a work of the flesh. Everybody's so shocked that witches are real. Oh, witches are coming out. I'm a witch. Which I'm glad witches are coming out. So y'all won't think I'm crazy, okay? I told y'all about witches a long time ago. Those witches ain't doing nothing but confirming my ministry. I told y'all about witches a long time ago. And they're not anything to distract yourself on, but you need to understand how we can stay pure and stay before God. You know, the Bible says that that two-edged sword pierces to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. In other words, the word of God, it will get all the way down in your very being to discern what you're all about, your intentions, your motives. You know, I always talk about motors. And when I think about motives, I think about a motor. That's the thing that makes that car run. What is it that make you run? What is it that make you serve God? What is it that make you want to be saved? It ought not to be. We're not serving God because he can pay our bills. We're not serving God because, you know, just because he healed our body. We're serving God because we love him. And not only if you love God, you love his people. And there's a lot of people that they want to be ministers. They want to be popular. They want to have books, but they don't want to minister to the people. Jesus, one of the last things he said, he talked about taking the gospel to all of the nations. And I believe that even that's why I'm on. I believe Facebook is for believers. I believe if some folk at Facebook don't like the way we get on and take authority over the airways, I don't care about that. But I know that there's some folk on the internet doing some crazy rank stuff. So we need to be taking authority over the atmosphere and over the airways, because Jesus is coming back soon. He's coming back for a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. So therefore, we have to be prepared, because the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. James 2:26 says this. We're talking about body, soul, and spirit. Say it one more time. I'm a spirit. I live in a body. I possess the soul. The battle is all over the soul. That's what the enemy wants. God wants you to give your heart, give your mind, give your soul to him. And the devil is deceiving people every day. Whatever they caught up in, if they don't have Jesus, there's going to come a day that they wish they did. And guess what? We have to release the love of God and the love of Christ to people, so that no matter how mean they are to us, no matter how they want to say we religious fanatics. Okay, well, you're a hellacious fanatic. You fanatic about hell and I'm fanatic about heaven. You know, it's okay to be sold out to God. Just don't be so religious that you can't relate to the people that need Jesus. James 2:26 says that just like the body, here we go, is dead without the spirit, so is faith without works. Now, we've said this all the time, but just like, you know, when your spirit leaves your body, that body is going to go limp, because with no spirit, your body dies. So is it as faith without works. So when the works leave your faith, you got dead faith, just like you got a dead body without a spirit. So it's time to put our hands to the plow and to do what God is calling us to do. Because the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. And I just want to go over a few scriptures concerning the soul, spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Write this down. It says, you will make your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord. He will make your whole spirit, soul, and body to be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord. So that's who we are. You are a spirit. You live in a body and you possess a soul. And this one I like, Matthew 10:28. It says, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Fear him who can destroy both the soul and body in hell. Wow, that's deep right there. You ain't gonna hear plenty of messages like that. Folk don't want, oh, that is not cool. That is not the charismatic, popular thing to do, to talk about hell. We need to tell people about hell. We're not sending them to hell, but they need to have a divine revelation of hell. We're not putting nobody in heaven or hell. We don't have one to put them in. But it's time for people to have a divine revelation. When you got to make choices and when you start thinking about, I'm telling you what I did. I just sat up one morning this week by myself and I saw all the testimonies of the people who had out of body experiences and went to hell. And I thought about it. I said, wow, if people would just look at this and take this serious, they will make decisions a little bit different. You know, Ecclesiastes 12:7 says that our body will return to the dust, but our spirit will return to God who gave it. Yeah, that's why we can't fear those who can kill the body. People can shoot you. They can do anything they want to do to you. But your soul belongs to Jesus. Your soul, God is the only one that can kill body and soul. And since we're talking about body, I just want to make a distinction because we're going to pray. And so you have an understanding that there is the flesh and there is the body. And the word flesh, I got some words that I just want to give you. I got three words for flesh in the Bible, in the New Testament. Sarkinos is one. S-A-R-K-I-N-O-S. Sarkinos. And that's 2 Corinthians 3:3. I think I'll just take the time and go there to 2 Corinthians. If you got your Bibles or your phone, 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, the third verse. It says, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshy tables of the heart. So this particular passage of scripture, the word sarkinos, which is a type of flesh, put that up there, flesh, sarkinos, S-A-R-K-I-N-O-S, it means fleshy or fleshly. And that's mentioned one time in the New Testament. We have another Greek word for flesh, sarkikos, S-A-R-K-I-K-O-S, okay? In Romans 7:14, it talks about how I am carnal, soul under sin, 1 Corinthians 3:3. It talks about for ye are yet carnal, and 1 Peter 2:11 talks about abstaining from fleshly lust. So all of this in sarkikos, S-A-R-K-I-K-O-S, it talks about carnality. So we got sarkinos, sarkikos, and now we got the sarks, okay? So we have an understanding of what we're talking about when we're talking about the flesh and the body, because a lot of times when the Bible is referring to the flesh, it's not talking about your physical body. There is a spirit of the flesh. Witchcraft is a work of the flesh. You got the word sarks, S-A-R-X, mentioned 100 times. In the Bible, and it's Romans 8:6 talks about not being carnally minded. Okay. How many of you know that the carnal mind does not understand the things of the spirit? Hey, let me help you get free right now. Stop trying to explain spiritual things to carnally minded people. They're not gonna get it. As a matter of fact, God says that his word will baffle the minds of the logicians and the statisticians. You got some folk right out there. People are keeping stats on you. They've been watching the logistics of your diagnosis or the logistics of your financial situations. But God says, I will baffle the minds of the statisticians and the logicians and those who think that they can take some numbers or take some words and figure me out. Because God says he will baffle the minds of the spiritually foolish and the intellectual blockheads. That's what one of the words for darkness is, an intellectual blockhead, people who think that they know more than God, you know, and people like little people like me and little people like you who understand the things of the spirit. You got those folk who are high and mighty and they seem to think, oh, well, we can't understand that. Well, how can a demon, and demons aren't real, and Halloween is okay. And, you know, and they try to make it seem like what we're doing is wrong. But we know the truth, because the truth is the only thing that will make us free. God says, I will take the foolish things to confound the wise. And some of the things as believers that we see is foolishness. You know, like, oh, how is she praying in tongues? Well, how are you not praying in tongues? You know, are some of the stuff that I see people doing on the internet, doing on some of these secular stations, oh, everybody accepts that as okay. But I am telling you that, church, it's time for you to come out the closet. It's time for you to rise up and be who God has called you to be. And I say it one more time, you are a spirit. You live in a body. You possess a soul. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that you're not who people think you are. And guess what? You're just living and renting this house. You're just renting this natural body. I'm not talking about the flesh. I'm talking about the body that you're living in, that when you're going to be absent from the body, you'll be present from the Lord, or you will lift your eyes up in hell. That is the real deal. That's how an IS is. And even Hebrews 9 and 10. Let me go there. I think I want to read that. Hebrews 9 and 10. Let me check with my hype man over here in the corner. How much time I got? I got 30 minutes. Okay, so keep me in check. Let's go to Hebrews 9 and 10. Hebrews 9 and 10. It simply talks about, for the ceremonies deal only with the clean and the unclean meats and drink of different washings, mere external rules and regulations for the body imposed to tide the worshipers over until the time of setting things straight, of reformation of the complete new order, when Christ the Messiah shall establish the reality of what these things foreshadow, a better covenant. In other words, it mentions carnal ordinances, or ordinances or laws of the flesh. And it talks about how these things were imposed until the time of reformation. How many of you know it's time for reformation? It's time for revival. I believe it's time for an outbreak of the anointing of God. And guess what? God wants to use you. He wants to use you. He wants to get down in you. And the enemy wants to take up that space that God has given us. And Galatians 5 and 16 talks about the lust of the flesh and the works of the flesh. Put that up there. The lust of the flesh and the works of the flesh. 1 Peter 1 and 21 talks about the filth of the flesh. And 2 Peter 2 and 10 talk about them that walk after the flesh in uncleanness. Ephesians 2 and 3 talk about the fulfilling the desires of the flesh. So we can talk about flesh, 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 flesh. But I just want to tell you that there is a place in the Bible where it talks about your kinsmen according to the flesh, them which are of my flesh. That's in Romans 9 and 3 and Romans 11 and 14. That talks about your relatives, or those that are some kin to you, or your natural relatives. I believe that even by talking together and spending this time together that we have today, we will have a better understanding of the flesh. Okay, not just what you're pinching right here. You know, there's another Greek word, soma, S-O-M-A. Put that up there, S-O-M-A. Soma is the Greek word for the physical body of men or animals. So know that there's a difference in the sarx, S-A-R-X, and the soma. I gave the other types of flesh, but the S-A-R-X, the sarx, spirit of the flesh, and the soma, which is the physical body. And I want to say this, and I want you to put this here. Also, the word soma describes a number of, a small or large number of men closely united in a group, in a society, or in a family, as if it were a social, ethical, or mystical body. So that means that we are the soma. Come on, put that on the screen. We are the soma of God. We are the body of Christ. Those of us who are touching and agreeing, we are in, the Bible says, when we touch and agree, we literally form a circuit in the spirit, a vessel for God to flow through. We are the soma of God. Although soma means physical body, soma means a body, a large or small number of men closely united. The Bible talks about the unity of faith, and it also talks about how we should be fitly joined together. So just like the body of Christ, or like Believers United, it is the soma. And as I remember the passage of scripture in Romans 12 and 1, y'all know I probably mention that scripture every time I preach. Romans 12 and the first chapter says, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. And our mind, our soul has to be renewed so that we would be prepared to be absent from the body. Y'all know everybody, know people are leaving here that I never thought would leave. You know, I've had close relatives. Listen, we believe God for life and abundant life, but are you ready if the Lord come back tomorrow? Are you ready if you are absent from the body? And are you ready to be present with the Lord? I thank God for the time that we had together. I just want you to remember this, that 1 Corinthians, no matter what we're going through, we talk about the Christian witches and all that. They ain't got no power. Listen, they only got the power that you give them. God is giving you power over all the power of the enemy. When Jesus defeated darkness, it was already defeated. But when he came down and manifested so that we would know, he said, I got all power in my hands. And when you serve God, it strategically puts you in a position that when you have things that come up against your family, come up against your finances, your children, your job, whatever it may be, remember this. 1 Corinthians 11 and 3 says Christ is the head of every man. Y'all better shout and tell God thank you about that right now. Christ is the head of every man, not some man, every man. He's the head of people, whether they believe in him, whether they agree with him. You know, whether they deny his existence, Christ is the head. What, no matter if they're in a cult, if you call yourself a Christian witch, Christ is the head. Don't mean you're lined up with him. It means that when the rubber hits the road, he has the last say of everything. First, Ephesians 1 and 21 says that Christ is the head of all principalities and powers. That's why we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, him being the head of principalities and powers, and the devil is under our feet. The Bible says that God will make our enemies our footstool. That's because we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1 and 22 said that Christ is the head of the body. Colossians 1 and 13 says that Christ is the head of the church. And that's what I wanted to share with you, just to give you some things for us to pray about, for you to put in your spiritual vocabulary. Go ahead and hit those hearts. Pastor John Eckhart is my pastor, and he always tell me, Kim, it's very important to have increase in your spiritual vocabulary. You know, there are some folk, they're smart, but they don't understand the things of the spirit. They may be intellectually smart and graduating from Harvard, but you can take them out in the spirit and lose them, because they do not understand the things of the spirit. Now, I'm going to call. I'm going to give you this phone number for those of you. I'm going to do a little ministering before we go. We got a few minutes to hang out. This number is 904-296-2251. 904-296-2251. If you want prayer, or we're waiting for folk to call in right now. I thank you for tuning in. It's a lot of folk on Facebook Live, but for those of you who are listening in our radio listening office, God bless you. Thank you for listening for 1 hour power with Apostle Kimberly Daniels. Well, listen, I'll take some prayer requests. We got somebody calling in, because y'all know I'll go to Facebook in a minute. I ain't forgot about y'all. Y'all know I'm coming back. I need you to intercede, Facebook. We got somebody coming on the line now. We got somebody coming on the line now. And, okay, is it 1, 2, or 3? My hype man. Okay, caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello, Apostle Daniels. My name is Iris McNair. I was calling to see if I get prayer for my family and I that.
Okay, so we got, just say your first name. I don't want your first and your last name.
Oh, Iris.
Say it one more time. I'm sorry, I can't understand you.
Iris.
Okay, y'all put Iris' name up on the screen. I want y'all to start interceding from Iris. Father, we thank you for Iris right now, God. We We thank you for her family, God. We even thank you for her faithfulness. And Iris, I see right now that God is anointing your hands. He's giving you skills and abilities to do things that you have not done. I see a business in your belly coming through your hands, and the answer to a lot of the things that you're going through right now is in obedience. God is giving you dreams, and some of them you have forgotten, but he wants you to be obedient to the calling. He says unto you, daughter, today, Iris, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that you have need of will be given unto you. I truly believe that the Lord is anointing your hands, not just to do war, but to prosper, to do business. And that's the word of the Lord unto you, Sister Iris. God bless you. God bless you, sis.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in, y'all. That was Sister Iris. Now we got somebody online, too. Caller, you're on the air. This is Apostle Kim Daniels. Go ahead.
Hello, this is Alexis Allen.
Okay, so just give your first name. When y'all call in, just give your first name, because, you know, I want to prophesy to folk. We ain't trying to let everybody know our business. But you are Alexis?
Yes, ma'am. I'm calling from Memphis, Tennessee.
You're calling from Tennessee. So we got Alexis on the line from Memphis, Tennessee. Come on, put Alexis' name on the screen. Father, we thank you for Alexis. Alexis, I plead the blood of Jesus over you. And I pray a supernatural hedge of protection around you. I see domino distractions. If it's not one thing, it's another coming after you. Just one domino. One thing is hitting another, and another thing is hitting another, and it seems like something is trying to take your breath. But I plead the blood of Jesus over you, and I command every vicious cycle to stop in the name of Jesus. And I also prophesy, decree, and declare the boomerang of the Lord and the ricochet of the Lord, that when the arrows come against you, they will turn and bend and go back to the pit of hell where they come from. And know that this is a season for you to pay close attention to your seed. And I don't know what that means, seed. It could be seed children. It could be seeds you're planting. But seed, this is seed time and harvest for you, daughter. And it's very important that you pay attention to the things that God is saying to you concerning the seed. Okay? Okay, God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Okay, we got somebody on line three. Caller, this is Apostle Kim Daniels. You're on the air.
Yes, my name is Loretta from Jacksonville, Florida.
Hey, Sister Loretta. How you doing?
Calling for prayer for healing in my body.
Okay. All right. Thank you, God. Father, hallelujah. Y'all put Loretta and put healing. Father, we thank you right now. In the name of Jesus for Sister Loretta. I would call her Mother Loretta in the name of Jesus. Loretta, I believe that this is a time. I know you're going through some physical things, but this is a time for you to get close to the Lord like never before. I'm telling you, there's a lot of power in your words, but the enemy's been trying to take your breath. But as you spend time with God, I want you to take time and breathe, because I see something wrapped around your chest. And in the name of Jesus, I command anything, every python, anything that would constrict her breathing, in the name of Jesus, I command her lungs to operate properly. God, I prophesy to her brain waves and command her brain to send the right messages to every organ in her body. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you that as you're ministering the healing balm of Gilead to Loretta, God, I thank you that you're quickening her spirit, man, to rise up and be healed. God, as we stand in the gap and pray for this woman of God, I thank you, God, that you're drawing her closer to you, and everything that the enemy has meant for evil is turning around right now. I want you to breathe, Sister Loretta, because I see that attack is lifting up and off of you. Just breathe and begin to praise God and thank him for his healing bomb of Gilead. Hallelujah. God bless you, Sister Loretta. We love you.
Thank you.
God bless you. And we got another caller on line one. Caller, you are on the air. Go ahead. Hello? Caller. Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. Janina, Memphis, Tennessee.
What's up, Janina from Memphis, Tennessee? Put Janina, spell it however y'all need to spell it, Janina from Memphis, Tennessee. We got people calling from all around the nation. Sister Janina, we touch and agree with you right now. I see that you need somebody to agree with you. You're in the midst of a lot of doubt and a lot of people that don't see what you see. But you need to know that you're on the right track in God. You need to separate yourself from those who are speaking the wrong things around you, because the anointing of God is operating from the inside out. But I see attacks coming from the outside trying to get in. And this is the time, this is the day, and this is the season that God is raising you up. And as he's raising you up, you're on a level, and I'm not trying to exalt you in anything, but you're on a level higher than some of the people that you're going to for counsel. So this is the time to separate yourself. This is the time to know your God like never before. And the word of the Lord unto you is that those who know their God, they will do great exploits. And that's the word of the Lord to you, sister.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you. Okay, we have another caller on line two. Caller, you are on the air.
Hey, my name is Katie.
Your name is Katie?
Yes, ma'am.
Your name is Katie, and Katie, where are you calling from?
I'm calling to have a deep discernment to do God's will in my life.
And what city are you? What city are you calling from, Katie?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay, we have Sister Katie from Jacksonville, Florida, on the line. God, we thank you for Katie. God, we thank you for sharpening her spiritual discerner. God, I thank you that you're dividing asunder soul and spirit as she delves in the word of God. God, I thank you right now that you're sharpening her ooze and making clarity of the things that you're showing her, especially in her dreams. God, she's dreaming and not remembering what she's dreaming. So I pray right now that every dream catcher and every dream snatcher is bound and loose from her. And God, I release your anointing to her dream life so that she can remember the messages that you are giving to her in the night season. And I thank you, God, that though weeping is enduring for a night, that joy is coming in the morning. And I prophesy joy to my sister right now, because there's been a time of sorrow. You spirit of sorrow, you get up and off of her right now. I command the spirit of sorrow, the spirit of sadness, the spirit of darkness, the spirit of depression, suppression in the name of Jesus. And that spirit of heaviness be moved right now. And it is replaced with the oil of joy. For the joy of the Lord, it is her strength. Now that heavy thing that's in her chest, I command you to come up and out of her right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you, sis. You go and praise him, because I believe you got a little deliverance over the phone just then. Okay? God bless. Thank you. Okay, we got another caller on line three. Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead. We're here with you.
Beverly.
This is Beverly.
Yes.
And Beverly, you're calling from
Germany.
Girl, you would be calling me. Talking about you calling all the way from Germany. I know you, Beverly. What is it that you want, my sister, intercessor, prayer warrior? You know what's going on?
What's going on
in Germany?
Germany.
Prayer for my next duty assignment.
Okay.
Okay.
You got your jail?
Turn your
radio down a little bit, Bev. Bev, you got your jail. This is Beverly from Germany. Actually, she's a member of my church. Beverly from Germany. Beverly, you got your jail?
Yes, ma'am.
And so what's going on with you in the jail?
I've only been on it for 3 days. I just got it.
Oh, you just got it for 3 days? Okay. Some folk got some knee testimonies and stuff like that in 3 days. So make sure you
come. Look as beautiful as my apostle.
Oh, am I beautiful? Thank you. Father, we just lift up Beverly. Come on, y'all, put Beverly from Germany. We pray for her next duty assignment. God, the steps of a good man, a good woman, they are ordered by the Lord. And Beverly is on Holy Ghost orders, God. And I think that even as she's a part of the government, God, the government in the natural, I thank you for the government of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, God, that you're covering her, protecting her, and leading her. Get in the paperwork, get in the hearts of men and women, because she's been faithful. And I thank you, Beverly. I see that even with this next move, there's a promotion. I know God has promoted you so much, it seems like it's nowhere higher for you to go. But he's going to promote you. It's not like up, but it's a promotion over. I don't know what that means. It's a promotion, but it's not up, but it's over. But it's going to put more money in your pocket. You're gonna do less work, and you're going to get paid more, and it's going to be a more powerful position. So just get ready for that. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Love you. We got another caller on line one. How many minutes we got, Hype Man? We got 8 minutes. All right, we got 8 minutes. We got a caller on line one. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Lachey. I was calling to get some prayer.
You calling to get some prayer?
Yeah.
How much you want?
A whole lot.
Y'all put Lachey. Lachey is on there. She calling to get some prayer. You want some prayer?
Yeah, I want a whole lot of prayer.
Father, I lift up Lachey before you, and I thank you for the spirit of excellence that's upon her. And God, because you put excellence upon her, the spirit of distraction has been assigned against her. And I bind anything that would distract her. Lachey, I really feel in my spirit that the spirit of the Lord is saying, move forward. I'm telling you, you got a lot of decisions to make. None of them are behind you. Move forward. Don't go back for nothing. Anything that would take you back, anything you got to go back to, old relationships, old jobs, old anything. The word of the Lord unto you is new. Move forward. And God is not going to give you details. But as you move forward, I see it to be like a spiritual treasure hunt. You'll get clues as you go along in the spirit. Just keep your heart right before God. You got a precious spirit. Just keep your heart right before God. And God is connecting you with the right people, so that I see, like in your body, I see like it's like a silhouette, and there's blue water to your waist, and that's where your prayer level is. And God wants to bring you up to that blue water coming all the way up to your head. So you're kind of like, if you know waist high, where you need to be in your prayer life, God wants to bring you up, because out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is your season. This is your time. So be connected with the right folks so God can take you to your next level. Okay?
Okay.
All right. God bless you, sis. Okay, we got another caller on line three. Wait a minute. Can we hold a minute before we put the call on? Okay, caller, hold on. Just hold on 1 second. We want to call out Yvette Benton. What's up? Tara Lindsay on Facebook. Annette Reynolds. Sawanda. What's up, Yvette Benton, my girl, Natasha Willett, Deborah Phillips. I want to let y'all know, Miss Consuelo, I'm going to let you come on and talk, okay? Kim Piero. Hey, Kim, you came in a little. You still hanging out with us? Charisse, my girl, Norma Garris, Yvette saying hello. Anyway, caller, you're on the line. Go ahead.
Hi, good evening. I'm calling from London.
We got somebody on the line from London. Hi, how are you? What's your name?
My name is Heather.
Your name is Heather. Oh wow, that's yeah. You know, you can tell I'm from the South, right?
Yes.
You sound so cute.
Just to connect. I'm just happy to connect with you. I am sort of intercessing myself in training, but. There's a lot God is calling me to, but in terms of structure with church and finance and business and all of that. I mean,
okay,
broke,
all right. But, so we got my sister from London, England, on the phone, and say your name one more time.
Heather.
Heather, y'all put yes. Heather from London, England. We're gonna pray for you, Heather. Thank you for calling us. It's so exciting, touching and agreeing with people from around the world who love Jesus. Y'all, Heather loves Jesus. And Father, we pray for Heather. We thank you, God, that fitly joined together, you will show us the bigger picture of what you're doing in our lives. And I thank you for that fitly joined together, anointing for Heather. God, I thank you that you're connecting the dots in the spirit, God. You're leading her steps. You're giving her the right covering in the name of Jesus, God. God, she's not a religious person. She's not been churched, but you saved her by the supernatural power of God. And God, I thank you that you will put her in the right place at the right time to do the right thing with the right people, because she's not a churched person. God, I thank you that you will cause her to be under the umbrella of the covering that she needs to be connected. And I thank you for connecting us with our sister today. May many blessings run her down and take her over. God bless you, Heather.
You too. Thank you.
Okay. We're going to be able to take two more calls. And we have someone on which line? We have someone on line two. Go ahead. You're on the air. Call it. Give us your first name and where you're calling from.
Brittany, Louisiana.
All right. We got Brittany. Brittany calling from Louisiana.
And I'm calling for prayer.
Okay. We got Brittany from Louisiana. Father, we thank you for Sister Brittany all the way from Louisiana. God, we thank you for opening up the line, not just opening the line, but opening the airways for her, God. I thank you, God, that she's under the spout where the glory is coming out. God, I thank you that you're putting a supernatural hedge of protection around her and putting her under the spout where the glory is coming out. I see that the lines of the spirit have fallen upon her. And because the line of the spirit have fallen upon her, God, nothing will come nigh her dwelling that will harm her. This is a season of protection and power for my sister. In Jesus' name I pray. God, thank you for Brittany. Amen. God bless you, Brittany. We have time for one more caller. One more caller. Okay, caller, you're on the air. Tell us your name, first name only, and where you're calling from.
I'm Anita, calling from Georgia.
Okay, well, he wants to squeeze one more in. What's up, Anita from Georgia? God bless you. Thank you for calling in and spending time with us. 1 hour power with Apostle Kim Daniels. I just really sense that the anointing is on your feet. God is anointing your feet because he's getting ready to redirect you, change some directions. I literally see you going in a new direction. He's not taking you back. But you're on a great path, and God is laying out some things line upon line, precept upon precept. It's very important that this is a season that you have some listening time with him to hear your next orders. As God tell you, he's not going to tell you the whole path, but as he give you one thing at a time, just be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And I plead the blood of Jesus over your feet, and I decree and declare and come in agreement with your steps and the ordering of the Lord. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you. Last person.
Hello.
Hi, Carly. You're on the air. Can you tell us your first name? And first of all, welcome to our radio broadcast. Give us your first name and where you're calling from.
My name is Yolanda, and I'm calling from Texas.
Wow. We got Yolanda from Texas. Come on, y'all. Put those hearts up for the last caller. Yolanda from Texas. Yolanda, is there anything in particular that you wanted prayer for?
Well, I've been interceding and standing in a gap for my region, and I woke up this morning, and I couldn't see out of my left eye, and my daughter began to intercede and pray for me, and I went to church, but I feel better, but I know it was an attack.
Well, you know what? I pray right now. We're praying for Yolanda from Texas. She had an attack in her left eye. A lot of people are being attacked in the eyes. But I plead the blood of Jesus over your eyes. We send back every assignment because you are a seer. Because you are a seer. The enemy cannot touch your sight. As a matter of fact, in the spirit, you're not just a seer, but you're a nearsighted seer. There's some far-sighted seers and nearsighted seer, but you're a nearsighted seer. In other words, you see things and you dream about them and they happen right away. That's the anointing that's upon your life. But I cover you with the blood of Jesus. I cover your spiritual sight. I cover your natural sight, and every assignment that's coming against that left side eye, I break it. I break the assignment against the right eye, and I plead the blood of Jesus over you from the top of your every generational curse. where family members have problems with their eyesight. It's not just witchcraft, it's generational. And it comes at a certain age. But I break that right now in the name of Jesus. I just had a friend that was supernaturally healed from cataracts, and she couldn't drive at night. But I think you need to do whatever you need to do in the natural, and then you need to begin to soak in his presence and begin to decree and declare, and you keep declaring you are a seer. You are a seer. And I'm not saying that you're just only nearsighted. I mean, you can see it far out, but I'm telling you, that thing works real strong in your life. When you dream, when you see something, you can say, wow, I just saw that. Yeah. But God is sharpening that and giving you more direction and covering to walk in that gift. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Well, y'all know we be having so much fun. An hour is all. How much time we got? None. Bye-bye. Y'all don't forget, we are sponsored by New You Life, Somaderm, Human Growth Hormones. If y'all want to find out more about this gel, just call 262-347-1023. 262-347-1023. I'm telling you, that gel is off the hook. And they are the sponsors, New You Life, of this radio and Facebook broadcast. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's show. To contact Apostle Kimberly Daniels at Spoken Word Ministries, you can call her at 904-237-9363. Services are Sundays at 12 noon or Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Or you can be her friend on Facebook by logging in at State Representative Kimberly Daniels. Don't forget to like and follow. And join us again next Sunday evening at 6 here on Praise 107.9.
The ultimate gospel experience, W300CU Jacksonville and WKSL HD3 Neptune Beach. The new Praise 107.9.
Thank you for joining Truth and Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or visit us on the web at truthandlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth and Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth and Love app and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now, where the message is already in progress.
And some honor. Unhindered. Unhindered. This is Apostle Paul, who has now finally gotten to the place that he's been longing for and anticipating getting to. You study the life of the Apostle Paul, you find out very quickly that Paul was a man of God that was on a mission. When you look at Paul's life, you find out very quickly when God chose him, when God called him, Paul did not have step in anything that he did, but no, he believed in what it was that he was doing and what God had put him in the ministry to do, that he ought to do it with all of his strength and all of his might. When we look at Acts chapter 28, it's amazing. This is the last chapter of the book of Acts. And many of you that's been with us for a while, you may remember when we first started, we walked through the book of Acts. We went through every single chapter. It took us over a year to go verse by verse and chapter by chapter. And we literally called that Acts chapter 29. Acts chapter 29. We call that Acts 29 because if you look, you know there's only 28 chapters in your Bible when it comes down to Acts. But we call Acts 29 because we are the 29th chapter. Because this is really and truly, this is the only book in the New Testament that does not have an ending. This is the only book in the New Testament that where it's not an ending, because it is a continuation. When you study the book of Acts, it's really just a history, just an account of the early church. And And when you hear of the early church and you and I study and read on the infancy of the church, you and I, as being the New Testament church, we ought to look and we ought to glean from them, and we ought to see how we ought to carry ourselves as the New Testament church. Because as I said, it's not an ending to the book of Acts. It's not the end at Acts 28. It just ends abruptly at the Apostle Paul getting to the place that he finally was looking to get to. Let me read that verse again in Acts chapter 28, verse 31, the last verse in this entire book. Look what happens. The Bible says it's Paul was proclaiming the kingdom of God, and he was teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness. It's on the screen. Acts chapter 28, verse 31. He was teaching and proclaiming about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, and he was doing it without hindrance. Doing it without hindrance. I know maybe why this isn't really resonating in your spirit. Maybe you don't know what hindrance is. Let me tell you what being unhindered is. It's right here on the screen. Not slowed or blocked or interfered with. Without hindered. To hinder something is really a verb. It's to make something difficult. To make something difficult for someone to do something or for something to happen. I normally try to wait to the end of the message, kind of hide my hand, kind of show you where I'm going and what I'm talking about. That's the work of a good teacher and preacher. They kind of tell you what they're going to tell you, then they tell you, then they tell you what they told you. So what I'm trying to do is I'm just going to tell you up front this morning that Paul is now in a place in his walk with God that God finally allowed that thing to maturate in his life, to come to fruition in his life, to come to pass in his life. And now that it's come to pass, the Bible says God has allow Paul to hit a pocket of grace in his life the way he can do the work of God, do the will of God unhindered. I don't know. I don't know who I'm talking to today. I don't know who I'm preaching to. But can I tell you that God has a pocket of grace that he can allow all of us to hit in a season of our life, that whatever it is that God has called us to do, that we can do it without being slowed down. We can do it without being blocked. We can do it without being interfered with. We can do it without a hindrance. And I speak that over your life right now in the name of Jesus, that if you are flowing in the will of God and you're walking out the word of God and you're going and walking in the way of God, that God will allow you to be a good husband and you won't be slowed down a block. God will allow your finances to flow in a way that where it won't be any interference. God will allow you to raise your children, allow you to go and build that business, allow you the right that book, allow you to do whatever it is you need to do unhindered. Paul is in this season of unhindered grace, and here it is. Paul is literally in prison. Maybe you don't appreciate what's going on in the life of Paul because you don't know his story. You don't know his background. God has did something in the life of the Apostle Paul. Let me say it to you this way. Paul should be dead. Paul should be dead. He should not even be here. Here, the Bible said Paul had to go through all of this storm. He had to go through all of this trouble. He had to go through all of these situations just to get him to a place to where God desired for him to be. And here in the last service, 9 a.m. service, I talked from Acts chapter 27, and the topic was simply stay in the ship. Why did I say stay in the ship? Because here Paul was in the middle of a hurricane. He was in the middle of a category 5 hurricane for 14 days. For 2 weeks, here the Apostle Paul and all his comrades, it was 276 individuals on this boat with Paul. And here they're in the middle of this hurricane. And the Bible says for 2 weeks, they didn't see the sun. For 2 weeks, they didn't see the stars. For 2 weeks, they didn't know where they were going. They didn't know where they were going or coming, and they thought it was over. Those of us in our day and time, we go through a storm for 2 minutes and we trying to throw in the towel. We go through something for just a day, for just 2 days. We just simply, our Wi-Fi is slow and we feel like we just can't make it. Oh, we don't have any more minutes on our boots and we just feel like we can't make it. But here the Apostle Paul is literally in a literal storm for 2 weeks, and here Paul got a visitation from an angel, and the angel told the Apostle Paul, fear not, Paul, because he says that you're going to go to Rome. You're going to go to the place that God have told you you're going to go. In other words, Paul, you don't have no reason to worry because you're not going to die right here, because God has something for you. And I'm saying that to you this morning, this afternoon, whatever time it is, that God is not going to allow whatever it is that you're going through to be your benediction. I don't care. You can pronounce whatever it is you want to pronounce over my life. I know you're saying earth to earth and ashes to ashes. I know you're pronouncing the benediction over my life, but no, the devil is a liar. God said there's nothing that by any means that should hurt me or harm me. God has something else for me to do. I will get out of this. I will bounce back from this. I will overcome this. I will come out of this cave. I will come through this situation because God has something for me to do. Paul's life, it was just simply to the point that where Paul was pushed with purpose. Paul was pushed with destiny. Paul was pushed to the place that God had given him a word. I feel my help. Now God had given him a word and put a word down in the city of his soul. And it was that word that was navigating him and directing him his entire life. Look with me. I'm not making none of this up. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse number 15. This is the infancy. This is the initiation of the call of the apostle Paul. Look what Jesus told him. He said, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument. He's an instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. From 21 Jump Street. No, from the very Jump Street, God told Paul that there's something that I have for you to do. You are a chosen instrument. I'm going to tell you right now, that's why your life don't belong to yourself. Yo, you don't own your life. You're a chosen instrument. You're just a pen in the hand of the master. You're just a paintbrush in the hand of the master. You are just simply, he just simply using you. Oh, come on here, somebody. I heard a great man of God, the late great Bishop Lawrence Charles Callahan Sr. say, he said when he died, he want to die with his spurs spinning. When he died, he want to go with smoke still in his gun. Come on here, somebody. He said when he want to go, he want his spurs. Come on, where my old cowboy? You don't know nothing about no cowboy. All them old cowboys be talking about this guy, Wide Herb and all the, I don't know nothing about no cowboys. The only cowboys I know are Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, and Emmitt Smith. Come on here, somebody. But here, can I tell you, all them old cowboys, them old westerns that they be watching all day, and my the gun smoking and Little House on the Prairie, they ain't no cowboy movie, but anyway, them old black and white movies, y'all know what I'm talking about. Can I tell you that all those cowboys, I'm sorry, can I tell you that them ain't no real cowboys? The real cowboys are in Dallas. But anyway, my point is this. He said when he go, he want to go spinning. He want to go with his spurs spinning. He want to go with smoke still coming out of his gun. Can I tell you, because he knew and understood that he was just an instrument. Can I tell you, stop complaining about a whole lot of stuff if you will realize that you're just an instrument in the Lord's hand. He's just using you. Yes, he is. Oh, we pray a prayer. We say, Lord, I want you to use me. Use me till you use me. Send me, Lord. I'll go. But the problem is when he starts using us, we say, now hold on now, God. I don't know about all that now. We've been saying, you fill me up until I over. And then when he starts filling you up, and then when you start overflowing, he said, now hold on. Now you're trying to pump the brakes. You're trying to slide down the hill. And God is saying, no, 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 no. You said, I want you. You want me to use you, and I'm going to use you till I use you up. Come on here, God. That's his ultimate desire in all of our life, for him to use us until we're used up. That where we can hear on that one grateful and that one thankful day and that great day, say, well done, that good and faithful servant. Paul, you are an instrument in my hand. You're a chosen instrument, and you're going to carry my name before the Gentiles and before the king. So Paul had destiny and purpose on his life. That's not the only time God gave him a word. Another place in Acts chapter 19, verse 21. Look what it says. It's on the screen. Don't look at me. It's on the screen. It says, now after these events, Paul resolved in the spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia and go to Jerusalem, saying, look what Paul says. After I have been there, I must also see Rome. You don't know the significance of that. Paul says, I'm going to see Rome. Paul, why are you going to see Rome? Because God had already told him that you're going to stand before Caesar. You're going to Rome. So it doesn't matter what's going on in my life. Paul said, I'm going to Rome. Because Paul said, it doesn't matter how they try to kill me, how they try to behead me, how they try to throw me in prison, how they try to lock me up. Paul said, I'm going to Rome. I wish somebody would receive that for themselves right now. That you know, that you know, that you know, that you know that God has said something to you. And you said, oh, I don't care how bad it is. Oh, I'm going to be delivered. I don't know how. I don't care how ugly it is. Oh no, I'm coming out of this. I'm not going to be broke forever. The devil is lying. I'm not going to be sick forever. I'm not going to be struggling and straining. Come on, y'all better stop singing them songs. Struggling, straining on my way home. I love the Canton spiritual. But you better stop singing them songs, declaring that over your life. I'm not going to be struggling and straining for the rest of my life. I'm not going up the rough side of the mountain. No, no, no. I am going to speak to my mountain. Tell my mountain, be thou removed. Come on here. If he doesn't move it, to give me the strength to climb. Can I tell you that it's not going to be like this forever? I heard the prophetess Orphan Annie say, they can overlook me in this orphanage. She said, but tomorrow, tomorrow, somebody going to love me. Come on here, somebody. You got to learn that sooner or later, things going to get better. Sooner or later, God going to call your number. Sooner or later, you're coming out of this. Sooner or later, things are going to turn around. Sooner or later, you're going to have your joy. Sooner or later, you're going to have your peace. Sooner or later, God going to do something quickly in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, sooner or later. Look at somebody say, sooner or later. Look, Paul said, I'm going to Rome. I'm going to Rome. You think that Paul think that was it? No, Paul told him something else. He said in Acts 23, verse 11. Look what it says. I'm probably not making it up. He said, the following night, the Lord stood by him and said.